Hi everyone, Sane Main here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Mr. Anonymous. He's got quite a bit to say. So before I read his comments, let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the Red Pill Ring. The Freemasons have their own rings and now so do we. When another MGTOW sees your gold, silver, or bronze ring, he's gonna know exactly what it means and that both of you have the same value system. Now all we have to do is make a secret handshake. Please visit redpillring.com today to get your precious, precious ring. Do it fast before Gollum with boobs stops you. Anyways, here's what Mr. Anonymous has to say, and I quote, "Dear Sane Man, I have a topic that I feel would be helpful to your audience, particularly your younger audience. That topic being the truth about alternative women, aka alt-girls, suicide girls, or goth thoughts. By alt-girls, I'm specifically talking about girls who belonged, dressed, and ascribed to the fashion trends of any and all of these particular subculture groups. Goths, emos, scene kids, punk rockers, metalheads, and to lesser extent, and more recently, hipster thoughts, suicide girls, hood rats, ravers, and club thoughts. This was popularized in part by such actresses as Fairuza Balk, as well as Helena Bonham Carter. Growing up and attending grade in high school in the early 2000s, and later in college, this particular breed of thought was numerous and quite common. They were always characterized by their multicolored or bleach blonde spiky or other quirky hairstyles, their affinity for tight torn skinny jeans or trap pants, leather or denim jackets, facial piercings, dark colored lipstick or eyeliner, beat up Vans or Converse sneakers, and followed weird pseudo edgy figures like Jack Skellington or Marilyn Manson. They always had a sardonic, apathetic, try hard edginess about themselves. After being involved with several of these girls in both short and long-term relationships, as well as knowing many of them throughout my lifetime, I have come to several conclusions about them, as well as warnings to any young men out there. To put it bluntly, the truth about alt-girls is that they're easily some of the worst, if not the worst, women out there, even by the standards of today's Western women. They are all invariably massive chameleons, who needed a group to fit into. Most didn't even know or care about the music or the art of their subculture, but simply wanted more attention than the average woman, by being one of the few females in their scene, and would often jump from one subculture group to another, depending on which one was more edgy or popular. They had huge pools of beta orbiters, as these subculture groups tended to be full of easily manipulated beta male schmucks, just happy to give them attention, thinking they would get lucky when the rock star Chad they were banging got sick of them, often acting and behaving a lot more skanky than the average girl. A few that I did manage to take to bed, however, were never anything special, never worth the wait or the hoops I had to jump through. I had several friends in those days who were along the beta and incel spectrum who absolutely gushed over these types of women. I believe because they thought these women were presenting something different and unique, cruelly sapping their attention and feigning friendships with these guys, instead of outright ignoring them like a preppy cheerleader type girl. To the beta males these women would collect, they put off the vibe of being very attainable when really, these women still thought it around with the jocks, chads, tyrones, and bad boys, and used the betas for easy attention. Many of these women would follow the boys in their groups to rock concerts or raves, secretly hoping to hook up with the rock stars and DJs. I believe these women had a deep resentment of themselves. From what I've observed, these women tended to be fairly attractive, hovered in the 6 or 7 range, and were almost but not yet quite attractive enough, or were perhaps too awkward or dorky to accept into the cliques of the most popular preppy girls, and were discarded from these cliques around the time of high school, when the most attractive and popular girls generally established their in-groups and hierarchies. For this reason, they became emo or goth as to petulantly save face and act like they chose not to be popular, hiding the reality that they were rejects. In the spirit of going against the grain and being counterculture, many of these women became the woke feminist monsters we see patrolling and policing social media and male internet spaces today. Many of them now purport and engage in pretending to enjoy video games, science fiction, anime, and comic books, so as to patrol male speech and activity and sap even more attention from the vulnerable blue pill men engaged in these activities. Now 2 years into monk mode, were I actually to go about seeking a girlfriend or go back in time to my teen years and date, I would much rather pick the preppy cheerleader bimbo type over the alt girl. In my experience, they never pretended to enjoy the same movies, hobbies, or music as me. Unquote. Well, Mr. Anonymous, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. I also experienced these sorts of women back in 1994 and 95 in high school, as well as one in particular in the late 90s in art school. I'm not simping out when I say this, but she was not like all the other goth girls. She was feminine, drove around in a classic 1950s hearse that she still has, and even works on. Made student horror films, got involved in organizing zombie walks, and she did all that not to impress a guy, but because she actually likes that style. To this day, she still lives across from a cemetery, and her Christmas decorations are simply her redressing Halloween ones with giant skeletons that simply look like the Nightmare Before Christmas. The neighbors complain about it all the time, but the city can't do anything about it. She also collects monster toys and plays the theremin. If I start that podcast highlighting Nawaltz, I would certainly have her on. She also had sleeve tattoos before anyone had them back in the mid-90s, except for possibly criminals. She was nice to be around and has the qualities that I've identified in women that go their own way, including creativity, intelligence, being prolific, working at their craft for 60 to 80 hours a week, being inventive or innovative, trying new things and risking failure and embarrassment. I identified all that in her. But statistically, 99% of goth/emo girls are not going to be like her. So Mr. Anonymous, you clearly got all the bad copycat ones. I read somewhere recently that about 75% of society is neither creative nor inventive. 12% is creative, but they can't use theory with their actions. 12% is innovative, but can't use action with their theory. Only 1% of the male population, male and female, is both creative and innovative. I'm just like you, going monk mode for years now, Mr. Anonymous. But I've gotten good at identifying women that are posers compared to those that are the real Magilla. There was a teacher in high school that was into 9-inch nails. She was a lesbian that taught computer programming to me in her late 20s. That was also part of an industrial band back in 1995. I wish I could go back in time and pick her brain. She dressed all in black, was super tall, and had one of those chains that hung down the side of her jeans connected to her wallet. She had the same features I noticed in many goth girls back then, and many were lesbians and Wiccans back then too. They also had small boobs, were usually overweight, tall, with masculine features. There were very few feminine ones back in the mid-90s. And as I mentioned earlier, the one I knew was not a chameleon. The majority of them were trying really hard to find a place to belong. So I will agree with you on that. I'll also agree that these subcultures tend to be very beta for some reason. One guy I knew was short and weird-looking with a cleft lip, hanging around with all these tall goth chicks with their tiny boobs. It looked like something straight out of a scary cartoon. Mr. Anonymous, you're right about such women supposedly enjoying nerd culture. I see them at Comic-Cons these days that I attend to shoot interviews at. They have the same tall, lanky, misshapen bodies that they try to cover up with some character that represents a man's repressed sexual fantasy. For the record, I don't hate all goth and alt girls, just the 99% that are faking their interest in their subculture. But that goes for every group. Even the cheerleader types, many were probably just doing it to get closer to the chads. When growing up, I didn't really have a subculture to fit into, because I tended to be too strange for most of them. I would talk to the alpha in each clique without their followers around, one-on-one. Perhaps they were desperate to find someone that was independent-minded enough to talk to, because they got sick and tired of talking to the other guys that would just take orders and agree with everything they said. Sort of like Biff's henchmen. Mr. Anonymous, I don't know exactly why you think that goth and suicide girls were a 2000s kind of thing. Goth culture started back in 1988, and before that, there was punk. I was around when it was a new thing. In 1994, I saw girls with shaven eyebrows with crazy makeup in my high school classrooms. If you were in big cities like LA, Toronto, and Chicago, or even New York, you were probably seeing this sort of stuff a lot sooner in North America. Before the internet became a thing, culture typically took 5 to 10 years to filter down to all the smaller towns and cities. I knew one goth girl that would travel to London, England, to get the latest fashion so she could actually be a year or two ahead of everyone. Once again, is that a sellout or someone that actually enjoys her subculture? You be the judge. She was doing that well into her 30s. But most of the high school variety goth and emo girls give it up at some point, like you said, Mr. Anonymous, and move on to different pastures. I suspect that they were desperate to get the attention from the bad boy nonconformists, but ended up settling for the beta male potential school shooter variety of guy instead. Eventually, when nonconformity becomes too popular, it becomes conformity itself. Do you think actual Satanists are going to wear clothing and create imagery like that and out in plain sight? Yet that's what many of the so-called gothic Wiccan girls did in high school, where I was. You say they were sixes and sevens, but where I was, they were more like threes and fours. Chubby, tall, tiny tatas dressed in black to hide the size of their derriere. All with an attitude like Helena Bonham Carter and Fairuza Balk, and it would be all accepted back then. hence why these women became the angry, disgruntled feminist variety. They didn't get the men they wanted back then, and their subculture taught them to present a lack of all emotions, except for anger and or bitchiness. Like they all had a pale-painted resting bitch face or something. But where were their parents to stop them from mutilating themselves with tattoos and piercings? I suspect that for some, the goth subculture was used as an excuse to be a bitch. I never saw most of them as anything more than a bunch of frumpy-looking bumpkins. Their suicide girl uniform was used as a weird-looking disguise to hide their weirdly proportioned bodies, it seems. But not the goth girl with the hearse, though. I don't know what it was like in the 2000s. Maybe when I became mainstream, you had better-looking girls dressing up like that. But I wasn't paying attention to it back then. Another group that was like this before the goth girls were the grunge girls in the early 90s. They used to be tall as well and tended to hang around with the druggies outside that smelled like they bathed in liquid tobacco. None of those girls still dress like they were part of that subculture today. You know you're cool when the things you're into in the 1990s are popular today and they're still current. I wonder how many of those goth and emo girls you were with or knew, Mr. Anonymous, are still into the same look and music today that they were into back then. Another thing about the subculture, even though I wasn't part of it, is that I would take pictures of bands and shoot videos at a place called the Bovine Sex Club and Velvet Underground bars / clubs on Queen Street in Toronto. Plus, it was really big when The Matrix came out in 1999. I knew guys that would dress all black, and they told me they did it to basically be a big black slab of FU to society. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Mr. Anonymous for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that I wouldn't smash a tall and frumpy-looking goth chick with miniature mammaries, even if you paid me to. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the suicide girls covered in facial tattoos that dress up as zombie cheerleaders away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.